We are teaching a short series from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, a wonderful chapter of our Lord's high priestly prayer. And he has recognized that his hour has come. He faces a cruel death on the cross. He faces beating. He faces a thorn crown on his head. He faces nakedness. And he goes to the Father with this prayer. And this is a public prayer, so it's given to those who hear and to those who record and to our ears. So his hour is come. Now, the end of Jesus' earthly ministry is imminent, but the important task of redemption awaits, for the blood of Christ still flows in his body, but soon that blood will be forcibly released by cruel men who, our Lord says, do not know what they do. They didn't realize what was going on. They obeyed orders. And our Lord said, they know not what they do. But what they do will satisfy the Father, for he has said, without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission. No remission. This is an edict by God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And God is just. So therefore, if remission of sin is to take place, there must be the shedding of blood. One night is left, but tomorrow his blood will flow, and his blood will cover the sins of the world. We're under the blood. If you're in Christ, if the Holy Spirit dwells within, you're under the blood. Oh, how holy that is. What a holy thought that is. But today he prays to his Father in behalf of his small band of disciples, also praying for those who will follow in their footsteps, those who will hear the good news of the gospel proclaimed by his disciples, and those who come after. That includes us. From that time on, there was a passing along of the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And one day it reached our ears. Those of us who have received Christ and responded to Christ and responded to that drawing are in Christ. You know, many years ago, in this very place, I remember sitting in the same, we've sat in that same pew for 50 years, our impressions are made in that pew. No one else sits there. We sit there. Now, sometimes we have visitors and we have to go elsewhere and it just doesn't feel right. But we overcome. It's not that big of a deal. But that's our pew. And I remember sitting there very long ago in 1970. And I heard the good news from those who came after, and the Father drew me unto him. Now, Jesus knew of that day. He knew when I would respond. He knew when my wife would respond. For John records, he looked unto the Father, and he prayed for us. He prayed for me. I take this high priestly prayer personally, don't you? You know, when you read the scriptures, take the scriptures personally. They apply to you. And when he says, I pray for those that come after, put yourself in that picture and know that Jesus Christ prayed for you. So again, we join that prayer in John 17:8. For I have given unto them. Now listen, personalize this. Who's them? That's you. That's me. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Preacher, do you preach those words? Do I preach those words? Do I read those words? Yes. That applies to me. That applies to you. You better do something about it if you haven't. But I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and what? They have received them. Glory, hallelujah, they received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. What a truth that is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Thou shalt be saved. Now some evil ones wondered at the words of Christ. Some even attributed his words to Satan. Can you imagine that? He's of Satan. But here Christ prays and tells the Father that the disciples know that the Father is the source of all that was given to the Son. You know, everything the Son did was from the Father. He is the source of all things. But of this knowledge, the world is ignorant. Oh, how ignorant the world is. You know, we were coming to church this morning and passing through the neighborhoods, and people were out walking and strutting and trying to lose weight. You know, what good will that do you in eternity? You know, those kind of things on Sunday morning are so vain. You ought to be here in the house of the Lord, being taught of the Word, thinking about eternal things instead of thinking about things of the world. Oh, the world is ignorant. The world fails to recognize Jesus Christ as the revealer of the Father. You see me, you see the Father. He came to show the Father. To the world, Jesus Christ is simply a man speaking man's word. But to the disciples, Jesus Christ was God speaking God's word. Now he says that he has given them the Father's words. They have received them. They have known them, and they have believed them. That's the mark of a disciple of Christ. Are you a disciple of Christ? Have you received the Father's words? Have you known them, and have you believed them? You know, a mark of a Christian is to get into the Word and know God through His Word. This is a Bible church. The Bible is elevated. We put the Bible way up here. I can't even reach as high as it should go. But Jesus Christ, preeminent. Jesus Christ is the Word written. Preeminent. This believing, you know, people say, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. Well, you don't believe if you don't believe on. You know, you can believe about this and believe about this, but if it doesn't affect your life, that's not the belief of the Scriptures. This believing is the believing on kind of believing. It is an action believing, a doing believing. It is a trust in kind of believing, and it comes from receiving the Word of God. You get the Word of God in you, and you'll be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. I hope you're a doer of the Word. You're here to learn how to be a doer of the Word. You're here to go out from here and remember the Word and be a doer of the Word. That's what you're here for. You're created what? In Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. You're not here to be a lummox. How about that word? A lummox, you know, a lummox is a lazy person. He's the person that you go by the wayside and you see the wall falling down and the paint peeling from the house and the car filthy and the grass grown. That's a lummox, a lazy person. Person that doesn't read the Scriptures and hide it in his heart and goes out into the world and does the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Oh, how we have taught on faith, how important faith is. Why is it so important? Well, God said it's impossible to please me without faith. You know, do you want to please God? But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They believed that Jesus Christ's teaching came from God, that he himself had come from God as the Father's sent one. Aren't you thankful that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ? I wouldn't know God without Jesus Christ. He revealed him unto me, and he shed his precious blood. But they, by experience, had learned the message of John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Do God's will. You know, that's what we want our graduates to do. They've been, some of these folks in the school graduating today have been in this school since they were a babe, maybe even 2 years old, I don't know. But they've heard the word of God, and now they're ready to go out. What are they going to do? Are they going to ask for the will of God? If you do God's will, you will know that Jesus Christ was sent from God. He continues his prayer in verse 9. I pray for them. Now he's verbal here. He's speaking out loud here. His disciples surround him. And these words come from our Lord's mouth. Oh, these are dear words. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He sees his disciples in the hand of God. He says, I pray for them whom the Father has given me, I who have taught them, they who have received the truth, are those whom I pray for. Are you one of those? Are you included in that prayer? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, but at this time he prays not for the world. He's specific here. He prays not for mankind in general, but he only prays for those who are about to carry the message of salvation to the world. God the Father has decreed that the salvation of the world depends upon their witness of Jesus Christ. You know, God the Father has given us a mission. What a wonderful opportunity to serve God, to carry that mission to the world. You know, he didn't have to do that. He could have told it through any means he wants, but he's given us that opportunity to participate in this wonderful mission. It depends upon their faithful recording of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, applying to those that will write holy words. Some of those around him would write holy words as directed by the Holy Spirit, and we have those words, and those words are the words that Jesus Christ said were given to him by the Father. So those words were given to him by the Father, and now they're ours. So his disciples are in need of the equipage of an undergirding of prayer to the Father. So he prays to the Father as the mediator, the great high priest, for they are thine, he says. These are mine, but they're thine. I'm going to be with you. I'm looking for you to guide them and direct them. I'll be gone. In verse 10, and all are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. What a wonderful opportunity we have to glorify God with our lives. And that's what he's saying about his disciples. What belonged to the Father belonged to the Son. As the property of the Father, they were also the property of the Son. The interests of both cannot be separated, for their interests are common. Are your interests common with the Word of God? What are you doing today? Are they common with the Word of God? This common interest is of great advantage to God's people in that Christ will ensure that that which the Father owns will be cared for in the fullest. You know, there was a caring. Jesus Christ was on the earth. There was a caring for the disciples. The hour has come. They have to depend upon the Father. Jesus Christ tells the Father that He is glorified in them. He speaks with full knowledge of what lives the disciples will lead for Him. He speaks with full knowledge of what His grace will do in their lives to conform them to the image, and He speaks to His image, and He speaks that as if it has already occurred. God knows you as if you are a finished product. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God, boy, I think about that. God looks at us now and says, boy, there's a lot of work to be done. But He keeps on keeping on, and He keeps on working in us, and He sees the finished product. You know, that's the vision of a designer. A designer can be given a project, and, oh, it looks so terrible now, but he sees the finished product. And God the Father sees the finished product. I'm so glad. And you know what the finished product is? Conformance to the image of His Son. Hallelujah. So He knows what His grace in you will produce. And He speaks of that. He knows that Jesus Christ will be glorified in you because you are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so too that belonged to the disciples, and He was glorified because of it. He saw them as to what they would be. You know, He saw them preaching. He saw Peter preaching, and He saw Peter writing the epistles. He saw Paul. He saw these disciples that would come later, and the finished product. You know, the life of the vine, God gives us this picture in John. The life of the vine is revealed in the branches, so that the fruit of the branches is the glory of the vine, as the vine provides life to the branches. Think about that. That's a serious thought. Think about this vine. And think about the branches that come from that vine. Now, if that vine were alone, you wouldn't think much of it. But as the branches come out and they bear fruit, and we say, oh, that glorious vine, look at the fruit that that vine bore. So this is quite a place for His disciples to be, for they were subjects of the mutual affection of the Father and the Son. You know, God the Father and God the Son have an affection for us. That's hard to believe. But He has an affection for us, and He cares for us, and He wants the best for us. Why? Because we're being conformed to the image of His Son. You know, in this, the love of God, there is no safer relationship. You can go into the jungles of the darkest place, but God will be there, and His love will cause you to be in the safest of places. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. You see, His hour has come. Jesus Christ knows exactly the timetable. He has the timeline. He knows what's going to take place. And He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. He knows what's going to take place in the hearts of these men in the next day and the days following. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So Jesus Christ reminds the Father that as far as the disciples are concerned, a great change is taking place. Oh, how great this change was. They had been with this Savior for 3 years. They had been walking the dusty roads and the dusty trails and the rocky paths while they witnessed his miracles, witnessed his healings, witnessed the time when he rose, he had a rising from the dead, witnessed his preaching, been along with him on all these days, suffered with him, rejoiced with him, and now he is going to leave them. So a great change is taking place. His disciples are not to have the personal presence of Jesus Christ. By 3 o'clock of the next afternoon, his salvation blood would flow, and he would lay dead, and the world would see him no more. So they are not to be in his personal care as being present with them, and this will expose them to more of the world. So he now commits the disciples to the care of his Father. Isn't that wonderful? I am leaving the disciples and I'm wanting the care of the Father. By no longer being present with the disciples and allowing the disciples to live by faith, oh, glorious faith, Jesus Christ expects the Father will receive more glory. Isn't that what we're all about? To bring glory to God? Yes, his disciples will suffer for his name. Yes, his disciples will be tried. Yes, his disciples will die for him. Yes, the world will rage and ridicule them. But the Father will receive the glory by the fruit that is born through them in the Spirit of Christ. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? These things will all happen. But Jesus Christ knows that they will be protected by the Father in the power of his name. He transfers them to the Father by faith. Now they are to operate by faith, not by sight, for he will be gone. So he prays for his own, committing the name of the Father to their care. We're in the Father's care, are we not? Do we not pray to the Father in Jesus' name? You know, there's no better protection than to have what is called here the Holy Father to care for the disciples of Christ. Now note that name that Jesus Christ calls the Father on our behalf. He calls the Father Holy Father, holy, separated, just, true, glorified, Holy Father. This name is given to the disciples as the name for God Almighty. Now note that this name is a name to be applied only to God, not a mere man as some do. No holy fathers on this earth. Our Holy Father is in heaven. The preservation of the disciples by the Father is a work of God's holiness because it is involved in separating the disciples from the unholy world even while they are in the world. Isn't that what it's all about, the Word of God? Separating you from the world by the Word of God. Only a holy Father can do that. So he continues in John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but, oh, he brings up the son of perdition. We don't even want to name his name, do we? You don't find any little Judases running around, do you? Oh, that name is buried with the traitor. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Why? that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, Jesus Christ was so careful to fulfill the scripture that we might know that he is the Messiah. So God the Father did not give Judas, the traitor, to Christ. We're told that he was lost that the scripture might be fulfilled. So again here we see the sovereignty of God. Again we see that no man cometh unto the Father unless the Father draw him, and Judas was not drawn. The presence of Judas was one of the many proofs that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah, for his deception was foretold in the scriptures. You go back and study that in the Old Testament, and you'll find the scriptures told of this traitor to come. And Jesus Christ refers to that, that he was not drawn. But all the other 11 were given to Christ, and Christ kept them for the Father, losing none that he was given. This is a wonderful example for us. You know, I don't want to be lost. And Jesus Christ tells me that I won't lose you. I'll never lose you. So I'm safe in the hands of Jesus Christ. Christ was faithful in keeping his disciples, and he continues to be faithful in keeping and preserving every believer from the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's equipped us for that purpose. Do you use that equipage? Do you put on the Word of God every day as you go out the door? You know, this world hates you in so many ways. This world hates what you believe. So he equips us if we desire to use that equipage. But the believer does not keep himself, but Christ keeps the believer. You know, we have eternal security because we are secure in Jesus Christ. You know, if it depended upon us, we'd be in a fix, wouldn't we? We would be in trouble if it depended upon us. Continuing in John 17:13, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So Jesus Christ turns to a subject of joy. He prays to the Father that the joy that he finds in the Father's love will be reproduced in the hearts of his disciples. You know, one of the marks of a Christian is joy, not gloomy. We're supposed to be a joyful person, rejoicing. Why? Because we're rejoicing in the Lord, not rejoicing in the goods that we have, the things that we have, but we're rejoicing in the Lord. He had told the disciples in John 15:11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be fulfilled." So here in his prayer to the Father, he reports to the Father what he has said to them. He desires that they follow his word, that they remember his word, that they may have joy. So he goes to the Father and says, "And now come I to thee." He has joy, and he wants his disciples who are to represent him on earth to continue in that joy. You know, if you're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, part of that conforming is joy. Part of that conforming is joy. The joy of what? The Lord is your strength. You know, you want to have strength. You want to have strength to do the will of God. Then you find it in the joy of the Lord. And you'll find it by studying and reading God's word and seeing all the promises that are applied to us and to me and to you. God promises so much. And our future is so bright, is it not? So bright. You know, I'll get into our citizenship next week. And we mentioned it in the beginning of Sunday school that we're to be heavenly minded. You know, that old saying, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I'd rather be heavenly minded. I don't want to be earthly good. You know, I want to have my mind on the things of God, and then I'll be good down here to do the work of God. Father, we are thankful for this time together. Oh, how the Word brings joy. And help us, Lord, to be a joyful people. It's so easy to be glum and to concentrate on the things of this world. But Father, if we concentrate on You and concentrate on Your Word and concentrate on heaven and think about the wonderful things that are in our future because we'll be with Thee, oh, how we'll be a joyful people, a happy people, a people wanting to tell others about what brings joy to our hearts. Now bless our service to come. Bless Brother Dunsford as he speaks to us, and help us, Lord, to listen and to be careful in our study of the Word of God, for we ask it in His name. Amen.